I invite you to focus now for a few minutes on the amazing grace, the amazing faith that is shown to us in the Old Testament book of Daniel. This is really quite a wonderful book. It's a great book with a great hero. And while it's a fairly short book, it's crammed full of easily remembered stories that affirms the relationship that a person who trusts in God has with God. We don't preach much about the book of Daniel. I looked it up in the recommended readings for the church year, and it's only recommended once each year in the United Methodist lectionary cycle, and there's three other scriptures also recommended with it, so it's not often that you hear it. Of course, if you've gone through Sunday school, you've heard the stories, because Daniel is one of the staples out of the Old Testament that we talk about. But there's at least four stories that we teach in Sunday school. The first one in the book is very early on when Nebuchadnezzar is king, and Daniel is working his way up the political hierarchy, and Nebuchadnezzar is confused because there's mysterious symbols appearing in his house, and Daniel comes in and deciphers those mysterious writings for him, and it turns out that they're a vision about the future and all the way to the end of the world. An old saying comes from that we still use today. Anyone can read the writing on the wall. It comes from the book of Daniel. There's also another story that's hard to forget in here. When I first went to San Diego to serve at the Council of Churches there, one of the first persons that I met was a old Baptist preacher, and his name was S.M. Lockridge. Wonderful guy, wonderful minister, great witness for faith, and he used to have S.M. Lockridge, you know, painted on the side of the church. It was Calvary Baptist Church, S.M. Lockridge, pastor. And finally, I said, "Well, now, you know, not thinking," I said, "Well, what do you think? You know, what does the S.M. stand for?" And he says, "Well, come on, you're a minister; you should know that." And his name was Shadrach, Meshach, Lockridge, from the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the story of them being thrown into the fiery furnace. And because they trusted God, no harm came to them. And then, of course, there's this story that Jack just read to us a few minutes ago, the story of Daniel being thrown into the lion's den and not being harmed by the lions. There's some wonderful paintings of this. I'm sure you've seen some of them. It's a great story. And it's this story that I want us to focus on this morning, because in this story, Daniel rises to the occasion. He turns a problem into an opportunity. He changes a challenge into a blessing. He turns defeat into a victory, and he does it with amazing faith. Will you remember the story with me? Daniel and the rest of the Israelites are in exile. They're refugees in a foreign country, and life is always precarious. But for whatever reason, mostly his talent and whatever other reasons, Daniel is able to work around all the obstacles, and he becomes, because of some of these things, he becomes a favored person in the court of King Darius. And the height of that experience is that, well, Darius was a bureaucrat at heart, you know, even though that they didn't know that word then, I suppose. But he selected 120 overseers to run the kingdom, and each of them had a certain geographic area. And then he picked three additional leaders, I suppose executive vice presidents in the corporation, who managed those overseers. And he selected Daniel to be one of those three overseers. Or managers for the overseers, a very powerful position. And Darius liked Daniel. But the other two supervisors were jealous of Daniel. And so what they did, they politically maneuvered and somehow manipulated the king into passing a law that said, for the next 30 days, only worship of King Darius would be allowed in the kingdom. And they got this passed, and Darius signed it. And what they knew, though, was that each day, three times a day, Daniel went to his room and prayed to his God. His room faced Jerusalem, and three times a day he prostrated himself on the floor and prayed to the God of Israel. And well, he did that in spite of the fact that there was this new law. And he was seen, and he was taken before King Darius. And Darius gave him the, Daniel, I love you, but what can I do? Rules are rules, laws are laws. I'm going to have to throw you in the lion's den. And so Daniel is sent to the lion's den with no hope of survival. And Darius is sad about it and hopes that somehow a miracle will occur so that Daniel won't die. And as you heard, in the following morning, Darius gets up and hurries to the lion's den and hollers in and says, Daniel, is there any hope you're still in one piece? Is there any hope you're still alive? And much to his surprise and relief, Daniel responds and says, yes, King, I am just fine. No damage has come to me. For you see, my God is the Lord of life and the Lord of all creation. And God sent his angel to watch over me and to protect me. Now, this part wasn't read this morning, but the result of this is that Daniel's taken out of the lion's pit. He's returned to his position of authority. Darius then sends a letter to all those 120 overseers and says, I think Daniel is on to something. And I recommend that you also worship his God and invite your people to worship his God, because his God is a God who delivers and who rescues and who saves. And there's also the story that the other two overseers were then thrown to the lions. And in one of those verses in the Bible, it says that, and they were eaten before they'd even hit the ground. There's a movie in that, isn't there? Yeah. Yeah. In fact, it's already been made, but it's old. What is it? This is a powerful story. What's in it for us? Well, I would want to suggest to you that for us Christians today, there's some observations about faith that I would want to make for you. Now, One of the things that it isn't about is it about doing crazy, wild, reckless things and hoping that God will protect you. That's not what this is about. Rather, what this story is about amazing faith. And first and foremost, it's about knowing God's way. Daniel, in this situation, was committed to his God. He knew that the law that Darius had signed was unjust and unfair, and he was determined not to obey it. He could not. His allegiance was to God first and Darius second. And he kept that perspective, even though he knew that it might get him in trouble. He stood his ground and didn't follow what the manipulators wanted him to do. You know, these sermons that I've been preaching the last couple of weeks are trying to look a little bit at how our Methodist system, our Methodist way of doing things, is encouraging us to be faithful disciples. And it seems to me that if I wanted to continue that, I would say at this point that we in the United Methodist tradition have a particular way of knowing God's way. And it is primarily focused around small groups of people working together to help one another deepen their faith. John Wesley and his band of followers back in England at the beginning were called Methodists in part because they were so methodical about going to these meetings and holding each other accountable. Some of you who've been in small groups with me know that I just love the fact that not only did John Wesley ask people in his small group, he used to ask them, "How is it with your soul?" That's not particularly amazing. What's amazing is he expected an answer and wanted you to think about how is your relationship with God at all times. The Methodist Church continues to do that. Whether you call them small groups or covenant groups or accountability groups or support groups or care groups or fellowship groups, whatever it is, we believe that doing the Christian faith is best done in community with people who know you and who care about you and are willing to help you grow in the faith. I was looking at a website yesterday from Brentwood United Methodist Church, which is in suburban Nashville. And the pastor was writing about the fact that one of the things that they ask of their people is that you belong to some form of a small group. And he said 60% of their congregation is now involved in small group work. And he said it's changing the life of this congregation. I couldn't resist. I went back last night and I counted how many of us are involved in small groups. As best as I can figure out, about 15% of us right now are involved in some form of small groups here at Campbell Church. I tell you, we need to increase our commitment to being together in intentional fellowships that help grow our faith and hold us accountable for being disciples of Jesus Christ. I want us to work on that in the days ahead. The second part of amazing faith is not only knowing God's way, but is willing to make the commitment to go God's way. This is a matter of making a conscious decision to move from knowing to going. There's a story that I heard. It's an old story about, you remember how, maybe the older among us here know that, you know, they used to do all kinds of crazy things at Niagara Falls. You know, the most crazy is going over it in a barrel. But there's also some other things that happened there. And one that I know about is that people used to take a bicycle and ride across a wire across the falls. And there's a story about it where it says that one time a man who's getting ready to ride a bike over the falls turns to someone and says, "Do you believe that I can do this?" And the guy said, "Yes, I do. I believe you can do this." He said, "Great. Climb on the handlebars." That's the difference between knowing and going. It's being willing to get on the handlebars with God and to trust God that you're going in the right direction. Again, on the Brentwood Church website, Pastor Martin there was talking about the fact that they ask everybody, and they're not ashamed to ask, everybody at least once a year needs to be involved in some sort of service project in the community to care about other people. We do a lot of good things in the community, but I know that not all of us are involved in community projects. We need to pay more attention to that in the days ahead. And then the third part of Daniel's amazing faith that he passes on to us, I think, is not only knowing God's way, going God's way, but also showing God's way to other people. One of the key things about the story of Daniel is that he was able to influence Darius, and through Darius was able to draw other people into God's presence. And we as Methodists are called to do the same thing. We are called to give God to other people. God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness. We're asked to share that with other people. Not in some, outrageous, special way, but just in our daily living as we witness to living in God's way. It's part of what communion is all about. Each time that we celebrate communion, each time that we come forward and we share in the bread of life and the cup of salvation, part of that movement is our commitment to renewing our commitment to knowing God's way, renewing our willingness to go God's way, and renewing our joy at the opportunity to show other people God's way. What great good news, amazing faith is, whether it's Daniel in the lion's den or you and me in Campbell and the valley. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks. Help us to be faithful disciples like Daniel. Help us to show amazing faith each and every day. Amen.